I'm your host, Samaita Graver, and I want to welcome you to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the podcast, where you will find conversations steeped in biblical truths, sprinkled with salt, and a dash of spice thrown in, you know, for good measure. Hola, feliz Navidad.
Hola, ¿cómo estamos, mi gente?
Triqui, tiqui, tiqui. Triqui, tiqui, tiqui. That's imitating the el guayo. Oh, what is the guayo in English?
Oh, that's a good question.
So it's made out of a gourd and has like what do you call those combs that people do their afros with? Those pick things, pick combs. Yep. So it looks like a pick comb made out of metal, and it has a gourd and lines, and you scrape up and down. Oh my gosh. Anywho, we're going to be talking about our Christmas traditions and what we do. Well, both because of our backgrounds and then how we celebrated, you know, where we grew up and whatnot, and even what we brought to our own family as adults and what we continue or the new ones we have. But I want to start reading one of the submissions.
Yes.
And this one is from Shelley, another one of my online friends turned real, real friends in person. I believe she lives out in Ohio. But anyway, she says, for Christmas Eve, my side of the family comes over and we watch A Christmas Carol with Alistair Sims. It is the best version. My dad and I started this tradition when I was about 12 years old, and it continues. I have no idea what she's talking about.
What was the name of the movie?
A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Alistair Sims. I don't know who that is, okay. And I don't know. Which one's The Christmas Carol?
It's Scrooge.
Scrooge?
Yeah.
Is it? Scrooge.
And then somebody got sick or something, the little kid. And is that it? Yeah. Like, is it kind of black and whitish?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of different movies. It's when you have, like, you know, the two people, like, in a bank or whatever. And Scrooge has a partner that dies, Marley. And then the ghost of Christmas present, past, and the future come to visit him.
Okay.
So he's become this just horrible human.
Bitter Scrooge. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then overnight he has like this redemption and then, you know, changes for the better.
Okay. Oh, I think I've watched it.
Yeah. Oh, I love Christmas Carol.
Okay. So then she says, we leave our cookies and colored milk for Santa using the same special Christmas plate from when the girls were little. Aww. She's talking here about her daughters, which are now, I think all of them are out of the house, she said recently. But maybe one's still home. My youngest, Ashley, is the one who had the idea to leave flavored milk each year. She just used food coloring, though. See, we moms, we make things work. So then she says, on Christmas Day, she says, we exchange gifts with our immediate family, and Michael, which is her husband's side of the family, comes over for dinner. We play the Saran Wrap ball game. We did that one year here. Was it last year or the year before? Oh, my gosh. We laughed so hard. So you take Saran Wrap and roll it into a ball while adding candy, small toys, prizes, and tickets for bigger prizes. Mm. We have a dice in a clear container, and a person shakes, and if they roll doubles, they get to start unwrapping and keep whatever falls out. They keep going until the next person rolls doubles, and they have to pass it along. There is cash in the middle, and in the end, we read off the tickets and distribute the big prizes. Then we play another time around, and they can steal prizes if they roll doubles.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. She says, it is intense. It's usually only my in-laws and one of his sister's family, but they have 7 kids and we have 5, so it's loud.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It is fun. We did something pretty similar except for the other round. And then, you know, you got one chance to do doubles. If you didn't get it, then the next person would do it. Next person would do it. So the other person is still unwrapping until somebody got doubles. You know, each person got to roll once. Oh, we had so much fun. It was a lot of fun. I did like gift cards and candy and it was a lot of fun. All right. So food. She says they mostly snack or do appetizers, but add in a full meal on Christmas Day. Beef wrapped pickles and chipped beef cheese balls are a staple. Beef wrapped pickles and chipped beef cheese balls. Chipped beef. Wow. Yeah. No, I've never heard of that.
Pickles.
Yeah, I just don't really care for pickles. So that's interesting.
Oh. I've never heard of it either.
Though. Now, I would try the chipped beef cheese ball.
Yeah.
Chipped beef. And I like beef. Yeah. So, okay. Mm-hmm. And then Christmas morning, they make cinnamon roll pancakes. That sounds good. So as far as people goes, she says, we try to think of someone who doesn't have anyone to share Christmas with and invite them over. We have ranged from friends to my girl's friend's entire family to neighbors to almost complete strangers. My grandparents set the example of inclusion of those on the outskirts, and that is something we are proud to continue. My girls got me a sign one year for my birthday that says, when you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence. It's become our family motto. Interestingly enough, I actually, when I first moved over here and you know, joined the church that I was a part of for, well, I became a Christian in for, gosh, 20, umpteen years. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. And because we were an international church, it was one of the plantings. So there were a lot of people that were not originally from the church. And so they didn't have any family around and a lot of singles. And so I would do that. Whoever doesn't have anywhere to go or have any family or whatnot, come to my house. Mm-hmm. And it was always, you know, a mishmash of different people, ages. It was so much fun. And I would just cook for everybody. So mm-hmm. I love that as well. So that's something that I've done for sure, mm-hmm. for sure. Oh, that was exciting.
Oh, wow.
Exciting, exciting. I love that.
Yeah. I love hearing about other people's traditions.
Yeah. Chipped beef.
Beef, yeah.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to say, okay, I call her Zena, Miss Shelley, mm-hmm. so I'm going to be like, Zena, that's a whole inside joke. But I'm going to tell her, like, what is this chipped beef thing?
For me and my friend.
Yeah, because I'm like, that sounds interesting.
My friend from Italy does the, I don't know if you've heard of this, they do the seven fishes. They serve seven fishes on, like, it's either Christmas or Christmas Eve.
Oh, and they
have like meal with like seven types of fishes. Like it's like mm-hmm. all over, you know, like for Christmas. And I'm like, you literally eat fish? Because I know in the Latin house, that's just not what we do. it's a shock to always hear how other people, you know, do these holidays when it's so mm-hmm. different from yours.
Seven fish. Yeah, I wanted to do salmon the one year.
That's it. It's a feast of the seven fishes.
Pieces, huh? Mm-hmm. I wanted to do salmon the one year. I think it was for Thanksgiving, and people are like, "What? Yeah. No!" I'm like, "Oh, come on, people! I like variety here."
not for a holiday.
I was like, "Oh, I can do salmon." It's just like, I'm like, "All right, fine." It's like, "Well, we're not eating turkey."
Yes. Save it for Monday, girl.
That's funny. Save it for a Monday. Mm-hmm. That's gonna become a new inside thing. Yeah. We say something crazy. I'll be like, Leslie, leave that for a Monday. Oh my gosh, I love it. Leave that for a Monday, Leslie. Oh my gosh. So, who wants to start? Tell me, like, what did you guys do traditionally for Thanksgiving? Lord have mercy, for Christmas.
I can start.
Okay.
So I love. From Thanksgiving to Christmas, like, it's my favorite time of year, right? And honestly, it's all about the food, because that's when all the real good food comes out. And so it's funny, because I know we're talking Christmas traditions, but I would say that in my household, Thanksgiving and just even like right before that was really the start of like the Christmas season for us. Because for us, the season always starts with making pasteles. Mm. And for those who don't know that, in Puerto Rico, it's basically the Puerto Rican version of a tamale, except
there's no corn.
We do it with bananas, you know? And it takes a very long time to make.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah.
Well, most people know that. Right. So that's,
well, green bananas. Right. We have to be specific. They're not ripe.
Right.
Do you put anything else in your masa? Like just bananas? Do you put any other roots or?
No, there's other roots in it too.
Yeah.
There is yautia. There's yautia. Mm-hmm. and potatoes, actually, because it's what helps give the thickness to it. And so it's, I mean, I just always remember being a little girl, and this is what I knew started the holiday season. It was like, okay, countdown to Christmas because we have 5 minutes. And so I would say since I've been older, I have my own family now. I haven't made mine yet. They're coming this week. So for me, it's always, that's one of the staples that I look forward to for this time of year. And then my family has always gotten together for Christmas Eve. So in Puerto Rico, Nochebuena, you know, which is Christmas Eve, is the night where like the big festivities mm-hmm. happened. And so and it was the same with my husband's family. So then we had to learn how to, you know, split days right. and things like that, you know, all the complications when you get married, but they're good complications. It was one of those things where like, I know until this day, like my boys know it could be the four of us and we are getting dressed up and we are having arroz con gandules, which is rice and pigeon beans. We are having ensalada de papa, potato salad, ensalada de guineo, banana salad.
Oh, having... you mean guineito en escabeche? Is that what you're talking about?
Guineo escabeche, yeah.
Yes. That's
yes. Okay. that is, you know, is green for our listeners, green bananas, and we make it yep. in a brine like it's pickled with onions and yep. whole peppercorns. And sometimes yep. some recipes, which I actually is the only way that I will eat, is some of them actually have chicken gizzards. And I do like yep. it like that, the mm-hmm. chicken gizzards. I will eat it that way. I won't eat it any other way. But I do like them like that. So, oh, yes. I haven't had guineito en escabeche in years.
We have it every year. And the funny thing is, my husband and my kids don't really mm-hmm. eat that. But you best believe it's Christmas Eve. So I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And then the yuca con mojo, which yuca is another root vegetable that's just made with garlic and onions and has like a lime kind of sauce to it. I love eating that too. And then obviously pasteles and then pernil, which is a pork yeah. roast. And so
I think yuca's cassava.
Yes.
Just, it's cassava in English. Yeah. I'm just trying to, yes. You know, keep people here abreast. I was thinking, I think that's cassava. Right. Yes.
I'm like, I always go to my default of, I know it's a root vegetable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, some of them I wouldn't know how to translate, like malanga. I think some yeah. African countries would know. Mm-hmm. They call it malanga yeah. coco, mm-hmm. but I don't know what that would be in English at all. Mm-hmm. And jautia, well, jautia doesn't have a, I don't think there's a, what's yarrow root?
That's the jautia.
That's jautia?
Yes.
Okay, so that's yarrow.
And then there's the ñame is, the name literally is in English is name. And mm-hmm. it's another big one, but yeah,
okay.
It's just there's music, obviously, like I never went parrandeando, which was like caroling, mm-hmm. but the very lively Puerto Rican way. Mm-hmm. For those listening, there's the guido is actually called a guido in English.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I looked it up to see what we were talking, and so you have that, you have a cuatro, which is the four-string guitar. So the interesting thing when I came an adult is like, we did that as an adult with like my friend group. So we didn't do it like with the kids, you know, growing up. And, you know, like I didn't do it as a kid, but I did it as an adult with my friend group. But to me, these are all the things that encompass Christmas because it's not a one-day right. thing. For me, it's literally, it is
a season.
It's a full season.
Excuse me.
And I think the reason I love this time of year so much, and mind you, I'm from Chicago, so it has nothing to do with the weather. So it should not be my favorite time of year, but it's the gathering, you know, like that's such a huge component of what a Puerto Rican Christmas is, what that season is like, to be able to just gather with people and eat and break bread and those things that are only made once a year, be able to have those and just talk and laugh and have fun. And it's just, those are the things that I feel like were the best part of Christmas mm-hmm. for me that I still continue to this, you know, to this day. And then we cannot forget new pajamas on Christmas Eve because, you know, that is a thing.
I don't know that's American. I think it's more American.
No, that's my mama. Let me tell you. Okay. My mom, my aunt, all of them, it's always been a thing, but to this day, me and my sisters, you know, we each have obviously all our own families or whatever the case may be. We still, we all live, one in Florida, one in Chicago, and I'm in North Carolina, and my mom's in Chicago too. And my niece, one of my nieces is in Texas, my nephew's in Texas. So we're all over. Every family has to take their Christmas morning picture in their pajamas. And then we build a collage for that day.
That's cute.
So even though we're not together, we still are kind of together. And so we'll put my mom in the center, and then I usually end up doing it. And you see all the different families, the nieces, the nephews, the sisters, everybody in their morning PJs. And it's a thing. So yeah, the PJs has always been a thing in my family since we've been little.
Wow.
Fascinating. Yeah, no, we didn't do no jammies.
No, we didn't do that either. That's not even, yeah.
And now I know of a lot of American families that do that, but my husband's family did a lot of, not necessarily pajamas every year, but I think there were themes. So one theme was, mm-hmm. you know, like everybody got the same flannel shirt or, you know, and that wasn't the only gift, but it was stuff like that.
Right.
But I didn't grow up with any themes at all.
Yeah, for some families that we know, like I don't wrap the pajamas and then they open. They know they're getting
gifts, yeah.
You know, and so kind of like that's the thing. But I know a lot of families where that's the one present that they can open on Christmas Eve. So big party happens, they open their pajamas, and then the next morning, you know, they have them on for all the rest of the gifts. But we've always, I mean, Christmas Eve is like, that's my day. Like you said earlier, Samaita, is like, whoever doesn't have a place to go, this is a place to be. Come on over. Like, I just love, I love having people over. I love them feeling the warmth of what the season means, you know, to be able to love on people. And so, I mean, I think I'm my mother's daughter in that sense of like, I'll cook for an army. Just have my house full of people.
Yeah. Aww. Most definitely. Wow. Most definitely. How about you, Leslie?
You know, one, I'm Puerto Rican and Dominican. So I will warn people, I'm about to lose my Dominican cards and Puerto Rican cards. So I'll tell you this, on both sides, I remember I don't remember it necessarily as a season as much as there were a lot of get together. You know, making pateles and all those. I'm not interested in any pateles. So it was more of a like, you know, like we got to get this nasty thing again.
It's okay. We'll forgive you, Leslie. We forgive you for that. New mercies every day that the Lord gives us, you know?
I don't know. I'm holding out here.
I know. I know.
No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
But it was because it's very laborious. It's not something that is easy to make. It takes a lot of time. But I remember it being like just going to my aunt's house, my father's oldest sister, and you know, in a small apartment. Because again, I'm in New York, and piling up like one on top of each other. Like they, you know, like it felt like there were like 50 or 60 people in like a one bedroom apartment, but we were all on top of each other. And the one thing that I think is very different from American, that is very cultural on both sides, is music and dancing. Like once the foods that we ate were very similar to on both sides to Jessica, arroz con guandule. You had roast pork, which I still do. My daughter does not eat any of those, but I still make them.
Did you guys grow up eating morcilla?
Oh, well, I mean, it was
my father.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Go ahead. She's like, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
Keep going.
I'm with Leslie on that one. I'm sorry. Like, my dad would eat it.
Yep.
I can explain to everybody what that is. But
When I take my little turn, I'll go in.
Yeah. But we used to, I mean, there was so much, like, food like it just came out your ears, and it was like, again, potato salad, and Dominican potato salad is pink because we put beets in it.
No.
Yes. You didn't know that?
No.
Yes. Oh yes, Dominican potato salad is pink.
So interesting.
We put beets in it, so it's very distinguished from other
potato salad.
But So you have potato salad. We had, you know, guandule. You had, I mean, everything just imaginable. And that to me is, it was such a, like, I don't even eat pernil, like, outside of Christmas. Because I just think it's so special. Like, that's how weird it is. Like, people eat it. You can eat it any other time. They sell it all the time around here. And it's something you can buy. It's not. But when you, it's like, you know, when you go into supermarkets for Thanksgiving, you all of a sudden see all these turkeys, like, for Christmas. In this area, you see tons of pernil. Like, you see big roast pork, where on a regular basis you don't really see it that much, because people, you know, we know that that's what we eat. But I think the biggest difference is, not the difference, but the thing that stands out to me the most, that I think would that really surprise people or throw people off when they come to like a Latin celebration, is the dancing, the drinking, the you know, oh, coquito, hello.
Oh, yes.
Coquito.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God.
So, forgot about that.
It's like the Spanish, because we have eggnog, and it's, oh my gosh, it's so much better than the American eggnog. It is.
Yes.
And it's made with alcohol, but it is so good. And there's just dancing. There, I mean, when I grew up, it was always salsa merengue playing. And as soon as you finished eating, somebody was up dancing, in particular my Dominican side. The Dominican side, but even actually, no, both sides, there was always just dancing. And so I know that, you know, going to other, to visit other people, like, it's just, you eat, you open up gifts, and you just kind of sit, and where it's like, for us, it's a party. It's like, this is a get together, and partying includes dancing and music and salsa merengue playing. And that's what I remember, you know, growing up. Now that I, you know, have Olivia, it's very, very different, because my family is not here. Many of them are in places, so it's just she and I that and our celebration is not as you know, obviously we're not dancing and drinking, but I still have like the typical foods, and you know, we do it a little bit differently, because I grew up with Santa, and I grew up with that idea of Santa Claus and things like that. And in my home, we didn't do that. It was really more Jesus is the reason for the season, and we did like a devotional every night while she was growing up to prepare her heart and things like that. So it's very different the way I celebrate. Mm-hmm. But the food is still there. We do things now that have just sort of like a mix of the American traditions, in that, you know, we put up the tree and we do, you know, things like that. But then we also have the food is really more the distinguishing part of that. But but I think that the dancing, and in Dominican Republic, when you go to Dominican Republic, it's like Jessica said, it starts like in November, and it's like a celebration. Like, they do it big. So if anybody ever wants to visit, like, that's the time to visit. It's more expensive to travel out there because it's such a big, I think in both Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic, it's such a big celebration that
Yeah, I wanted to go this Christmas, you know, it didn't matter about COVID, because, you know, it's warm and why would I want to be here? But when we went, like, this whole time, I went to Puerto Rico a couple times since July. And tickets were $100. So I'm like, oh, we're going to Puerto Rico this year, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, girlfriend. When I went to buy the tickets, they were almost $600. I'm like, I've that's enough. Yeah. So I'm going to be here for Christmas. I was so looking forward to it. I was so, like, I almost cried because I haven't been home for Christmas in a lot of years, and it's because it's different, and I'll get into it in a minute. But it goes up a lot because it's so important, such a central thing for us.
Right. Yeah. And even in New York, it's like an exodus of that. We have an area in New York called Washington Heights, where it's like predominantly Dominican, and it's like an exodus. Everybody's on planes to go to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Like the New Yorkers. Yeah, because it's such a huge, like, that's the time to be there, to go during Christmas. I've never been. I'm excited at one point to go just experience it. But I know that here, you know, New York, you have just limited space.
Yeah.
Right? So you're in apartments, but people are literally on top of each other, like, all decked out, like, you know, hair done, nails done, dressed up, sitting on a couch. Like, you know, but you're sitting on a couch and it's a huge celebration. So that's what I remember that too growing up. But coquitos also. Whew.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Well,
listen,
don't let me forget, because I actually have a recipe here I'm going to give to our listeners so they can go make their own coquito.
Oh, okay.
I have it written out.
I,
but anyway, yeah, I, See, I grew up in the States until I was 10. My dad was in the Army. And so I really don't recall a whole lot of what happened. I know we had, you know, my dad had, depending on, you know, where we were stationed, he had his group of friends, or my mom, I guess, too. And we would do stuff with other Puerto Rican families. But that just doesn't stick out to me as much until I actually lived in Puerto Rico. And we did the Santa Claus thing. Actually, I was one of those kids that believed in Santa, like I probably had my doubts, like at some point, but too. I didn't really like know for sure until I was 10.
That, yeah. Oh, me too.
Because I found a bunch of gifts under the bed at my mom, in my mom's room. And then that Christmas, that's what we got. And I was like, okay. So he really doesn't exist, ironically, but anyway,
yeah, you should do a public service announcement to people. Be like, hey, I'll do that
at the beginning. I'll do a special recording. I know. I just told my granddaughter, she says, does he exist? And I'm like, oh, shoot. Because I didn't do Santa with my other two kids. I did it with my first two, and I was just like, oh shoot. She's like, I don't think he exists. I'm like, oh, okay. And I said, all right. And I said, well, I guess he exists for whoever wants to believe he exists. So if you believe it, then he does. If you don't, then he doesn't. That's what I said. I didn't want her mom to kill me. Exactly. But anyway, going back to growing up, you two are speaking, and there's a lot of that essence that your parents brought with them from Puerto Rico then to the States, because, you know, growing up there, that is exactly it. Like, once Thanksgiving came around, for every festivity, whether it was Christmas, Thanksgiving Day, or parties in between, you are dressed to the nines.
Yes.
Very much like very well dressed, even if you had jeans, but you dressed that up with a really nice shirt. Oh, yeah. You had the makeup on, you know, as a woman, whatever. Guys, the shirts had to be, you know, dressed, not dressed short, like button down, whatever, but, you know, nicer shirts or whatnot.
Right.
And dress shoes, for sure. Heels are a big thing. Like, you know, we're just really extra. Mm-hmm. I struggled with that because I liked the idea of it, but I was never comfortable. And at this point, I mean, if you look at my closet, you're like, wow, you really like, are you Puerto Rican? Because I hate dressing up at this point in my life. At some point I just decided, okay, I did all this and none of it brings me joy. So I Marie Kondo'd all of it. When I was like 18 or 17, I was done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree with you.
Oh my gosh. But so there's definitely all that about dressing up and, you know, getting together with family. And when you were talking about food, yeah, there was that potato salad, or we had ensalada de coditos, which is a macaroni salad.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And I was telling somebody the other day, it's like, we are the epitome of carb.
Oh my God.
City, because you have rice, you have potato salad and macaroni salad. You have pasteles, which is all, you know, roots, which is carb starches.
And you have to have all of them on your plate.
You have a little bit of everything, right?
A little bit of everything.
And then what else? You have the pork or ham. Some people do pineapple ham, jamón con piña, which I don't like sweet and savory mix, so that was a no-no for me. Usually I waited for everybody to eat, and I tried to get the meat in the middle, which had the least pineapple flavor. So I don't, but pineapple ham, is that what it's called? Pineapple ham?
Ham.
Yeah, pineapple, with pineapple on top. That's a thing for us. It's big.
Or cherries. I know a lot of people that do cherries. I don't remember if any of
my family did the cherry thing, but definitely jamón con piña, which is, you know, ham with pineapples on top, which I did not like. I can't think of any other. What else? Did we do bread? I don't think we did bread with any other meals.
Bread? Yeah, girl, there was, I can't remember. Bread around.
I don't think we did bread.
Yeah, I can't remember. And then there's the desserts. We didn't talk about desserts, lady.
Oh, yeah.
Girl. So we have tembleque. Yes. Which is made with cornstarch, and it's very much like a gelatin-y, and it's made with coconut milk and cinnamon. I'm not a sweets person at all, but I do like tembleque. Mm-hmm. We have arroz con dulce, yes. Arroz con dulce is like a rice pudding, and it's, again, coconut, cinnamon, whole other thing. Flan is, you know, another thing. I don't know. I don't recall any like specific other desserts that were Christmassy aside from those two, though. Flan, it, you can eat it, you know, year round, but I don't remember if that was a Christmas thing or not, to be honest. And I don't like flan. Mm-hmm. The texture is.
Yeah. I don't remember. Remember Entenmann's.
You remember Entenmann's.
Entenmann's.
But I didn't know. But well, I remember like tembleque and like I hope
arroz dulce.
Dulce de leche. What we call dulce de leche. Oh no, dulce de leche is Dominican, mm-hmm. and it's like a and it's like a little, it's like a bar of sugar. It's so good. It literally, it's like it's.
Oh, no, dipped in milk or dipped
like,
in
milk kind of, but it's like a little, it's like a bar.
Oh, is it? Dulce, okay.
Like a
I've never had it, but I've seen it.
Right? It's solid. So it's not mushy.
I knew what you were talking about. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
you what? You know what we didn't talk about? The original charcuterie board, girl. Because other when you parties, go to Puerto Rican house.
Go ahead.
The first thing that comes out are
sasichon,
salami. It's a salami.
Like, salami, right? Then you have your like cheddar cheese, you know, like Colby cheese, whatever, in cubes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have your green olives. Then you have
your guava paste,
which is
guava
paste. Then you have
turrón. Wow, what is that? It's a nugget. It's a Spanish nugget. It's,
it's an almond. Nugget. It's like an almond in a coconut cream nougat, something like that. And then girl,
the Ritz crackers with the,
you know, you can't go nowhere without Ritz crackers
bottle
things. Oh my god.
And the wait, and it, and the that pimento cheese stuff.
Oh my god.
Did you guys have that?
Yes.
Yep, yep, yep.
That too. So
that
you know I was joking recently and I'm like, I'm gonna make it for Christmas and I'm gonna take a picture and I'm gonna be like the OG charcuterie board before charcuterie boards were a thing, you know?
Saying it, and I thought that that was just like our, like, well, we just ghetto.
Well, yeah,
no, mama.
It was so Puerto Rican because we did the same thing. We still, like, oh, la salchicha and the Ritz crackers and the cheese and. Oh, that is so
queso blanco funny. Con guayaba. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I guess it's Puerto Rican.
And it's a white cheese.
No, it's not, kind it's of crumbly. Kind of mozzarella.
It's a different type
not,
of white
it's
cheese.
It's mild, but not mozzarella, I don't think. Yeah.
Right. I don't know how to really describe it. It's not a feta crumble or like it's not a like the cheese that they use on, you know, Mexican tacos that they, you know, crumble. It's not like that, but mm-hmm. It looks like it, but it stays with its solid texture on it. And we had that on a board, and that is what we were eating until the rest of the food was ready to go. And here's the other thing. Like, people always joke about, like, we always joke if we're going to be on Puerto Rican time, right? Because Puerto Ricans, I think colored people in general, but, like, Puerto Ricans, we're notorious for being white, right?
Yeah.
But I would even say, I mean, I know a lot of black people, they say the same thing, you know? And so... That's what I'm saying. I think it may be a color thing more than anything, but when you're on Puerto Rican time, you're usually about an hour late, you know? So normally as the host, you'll say like, mm-hmm. 5, because you know nobody's showing up till 6 or 7, right? And then the thing is because you're starting with your, you know, cheese plate and everything I just described, then you're going into the main meal, and then we're still having dessert because you're dancing it off all in between.
Yes.
So any gathering is like a 6-7 hour affair, you know, like, we're there into midnight, one in the morning, because it is just a celebration. Like, that is what I feel like, especially, you know, Puerto Ricans, Dominican, you know, like Latin people do, is we love to celebrate, and we just love to, if any reason to throw a party, we're going to throw a party. And
exactly.
Christmas season is like the party's a party, you know?
And I think that the other thing that I think surprises people is how late, because a lot of times people celebrate Christmas during the day, they have their lunch, and then they open, like, ours starts, even Thanksgiving, it's, like, late, like, say, like, we ate, and it's just Olivia and I, mm-hmm. we ate, like, around 6:30, like, we don't eat, like, mm-hmm. Thanksgiving lunch, you know?
Yeah, it's a dinner thing, it's like not the eating lunch, yeah, no. Mm-hmm.
It's a dinner thing, No, because it's going to be a party and it's going to wind up until 2-3 in the morning. And so, you know, it's all those things. It's not just.
Yep. So there was all that food. Exactly. Oh, like you were just saying, Jessica, like you went and you had dinner and then you didn't just sit around and then, okay, you're, you know, gone by 7 or 8 o'clock, maybe 9. Right. Oh, no. You ate. And then there was the music and the dancing and the drinking and or dominoes, yep, or yep. You know, chit chatting
and the dominoes.
You know, I mentioned in the there'll probably be a lot of repetition here, you know, throughout the episodes because I'm, you know, the main one. But in discussing this again, it's like you have them by 10 o'clock, or right. Around 10 o'clock, you start seeing kids strewn all over the place because we don't go home because they're sleepy. You find somewhere to go sleep.
No.
Yeah. Uh-huh. People brought their like playpens, and because in Puerto Rico it's warm, you didn't have to be indoors. And even if you had a small house, the majority of houses in Puerto Rico have marquesinas, which are carports, and they're like, you know, semi-open because you know, right. You just have the gate and the metal gate, and so or iron gate, and so you open up, and there's people there. There may be people inside. There's people on the sidewalk. Like it's just all, you know, the party isn't just in your house. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, spread out. And so there are kids all over the place, and it didn't matter. Like, people didn't go home because kids were sleepy. We knew when we got tired, we just went and found somewhere to sleep. No. And you find kids asleep in different beds, and it didn't matter. Yeah, you start looking all over the house to find your kid. Yeah.
On top of poles.
Yep.
On top of poles,
exactly. And, you know, kids learn how to sleep very well in no matter which environment. Nobody went home to cater to their kids. So that definitely went on.
Oh, yeah.
But it is true. And then in between, we didn't just celebrate Christmas and then New Year's and Thanksgiving. That wasn't it. No. In between, we had parrandas. And so parrandas is like the same as, I guess, not the same. It's our equivalent of caroling. Well, number one, it's warm, or at least cool, you know, in Puerto Rico in the winter. So nobody's freezing their butts off. So it usually starts at a house about 10 o'clock at night or so. This isn't early. And then you get a group of people that know how to play the guitar, the cuatro, which is another type of, you know, string instrument. You have the güiro, and then you all meet at one house, sometimes as a surprise, and you start, like, you have 20, 30 cars with a bunch of people, and you show up at people's houses by surprise, and you're outside playing Christmas songs that are typical to, you know, Puerto Rico or whatever. And then they come out and, you know, they feed you snacks and they give you drinks, and you do that like 2 or 3 houses all throughout the night. So it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and that the last house, the tradition is that they serve you asopao, which is a chicken soup. And that's just to send you home fed. And after you play for them and you drink and you, you know, sing and whatever, then everybody gets in their house and goes home. So it is like an all night, like later on, and you just show up surprising people. Now, sometimes people don't like surprises, so they're expecting you. But as Puerto Ricans, you already knew that you had stuff there ready just in case somebody shows up. Yep. And so.
Right. Somebody may come. Right.
Yeah.
At minimum,
the Ritz crackers,
pasta guayaba, so the guava paste with your queso blanco and your Ritz crackers. That was at minimum, you know, and
you so have
you
to feed them.
Had it well stocked in the house.
So you know, and that happens throughout the whole season. Now you know here the Christmas season essentially, you know, ends after, you know, Christmas Day, and then you have New Year's. But for us, Christmas season doesn't end until. Ay, la octavita. Right. So that's 14 days. Until like January 14th or so. Because we have then the Three Wise Men or Three Kings Day. And that tradition I actually really love. Right. I mean, the whole, you know, Jesus 25th or whatever, but, you know, there's that whole Santa Claus part, which Santa Claus isn't part of the Jesus' birth story at all. And so what I love about our tradition of the three wise men is that we celebrate it on the eve is the 5th and then the day is the 6th of January every year, which actually coincides with Orthodox something. The Orthodox churches celebrate something that day, but I can't remember. It's Orthodox Christmas or something, I think. I don't remember, but I know that it coincides with a different calendar with Orthodox Christians, but I can't remember now what it is. Yeah. Anyway, my point is that the tradition goes that you go outside and you collect, you know, here in the winter, basically just hey, because the grass is twigs, yes, dead. Yeah. And God forbid it actually snows.
Twigs.
But you go outside and collect that and put it in a box, and you put that box underneath the bed. You know, the children do. And so what happens then is the three wise men come, you know, with their camels. Sometimes they say horses, whichever. And then they leave gifts underneath the bed, which represents, you know, them leaving gifts at baby Jesus, you know, there at the manger. And the gifts are not wrapped either, because that kind of symbolizes mm-hmm. a simple, you know, humble birth. So it's not supposed to be flashy. Mm-hmm. And then in the mornings, the kids get up and then they look under the beds and see what the wise men left them. So that's, you know, the tradition there. And I really, really enjoyed that. So we have two Christmases in a sense. We have, you know, the regular, I guess, if you do Santa Claus, and then the wise men come as well. And then after that, we celebrate Las Octavitas, which, to be honest, I should have researched, but I don't remember what the tradition is. But it's another 8 days of celebrating and whatnot. So it goes on forever.
And you look at nativity scenes, yes. You see that the wise men are there in a lot of nativity scenes. You didn't realize that. And
yes.
They didn't come right away. Like, it was a while after. Like, it wasn't something that they came right away. And so the kids are just having like a week and then having, celebrating that the wise men came.
Yes, so they did show up afterward. And so we have that. And I really like that tradition. Now with my kids, you know, older, I had them for a while, you know, collect dress. I haven't done it in the last year or two. Maybe I'll make them do it this year. It's cold out there. But what I do now is I just buy things that represent the gold, incense, and myrrh. Frankincense, sorry, and myrrh. And I know, like, what brand is it? There's a brand of hair and lotion products that they actually sell frankincense and myrrh, like lotion. And so I will buy that because it literally has frankincense. And then for gold, I'll do maybe Hershey's chocolate gold thing, you know, the wrapper or something that's shiny, maybe, you know, depends on what I find that year. And so I just do that more so to represent it than to make a whole big gift thing anymore. And you know, there aren't any babies in the house. Well, my granddaughter now, but you know, she's growing up in a household that's you know just white American, so that tradition really isn't you know, that big. And if I have her, you know, I'll do it, but if I don't, you know, she likes stuff like that, you know, little kids. But yeah, that's definitely what I grew up in, and it is a huge season of celebration. It's not and when I say season, I mean, it's months, because you have from November all the way to January 14th, so almost mid-January that you have things going on. And because the weather is so nice, I mean, you can do a lot of stuff and go out and whatnot. I won't go caroling. That's just not right.
I mean, I like the idea. I just don't want to surprise anyone. Because don't come to my house. But I would love.
Oh no! You gotta live in the same city as me, Leslie. I'm gonna be like, there's specifically music,
la
right?
Puerta.
And it's for people like you, Leslie. Where it's like, open the door, ábreme la puerta, ábreme la puerta.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not leaving here until you open this door.
No room in the inn.
No room in the air.
Oh my gosh,
I'll be like, you gotta get your Puerto Rican card back. Open that door.
I love the idea. Just don't surprise me. But I would love to do it.
Now, some people do, you know, they know we're coming and they're ready for us. But and I don't know, you know, how much, how many people were totally surprised and how many weren't. You can tell the ones that were surprised, because they literally are like asleep. No, they were asleep. What? It's 1 o'clock in the morning and you just show up.
Oh God.
All sleep. But what I love about all that more than anything, and because I want people to really hear and understand this too, is Puerto Rico is not the richest country in the world, you know? And so we're not talking people, like when we say, oh, we're ready, 20, 30 people going to show up. There's this simplicity of it that is what makes, I feel like, the season so beautiful. Yeah. Because I'm gonna feed you crackers and cheese, but hey, I gave you something. But that's not the main reason that they're there. The main reason they're there is because they want to celebrate with you.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I'll say, like, living here in America, obviously, is we have this thing, this need to host, this need to make everything so extravagant, to, you know, have everything, you know, just kind of so put together. And the beauty of a 1 a.m. knock on the door with, you know, all the musical instruments playing is that I don't look good because my hair is a hot mess. So I'm putting it up in a bun and you're coming right in and I'm giving you cheese and crackers and we're going to have the most beautiful time and make the most amazing memories. And that is what I feel like the Christmas season is about, especially in, you know, like you said too, Leslie, in the Dominican culture, but, you know, I'm speaking for specifically the Puerto Ricans since that's what I know. It's the same. But
it's just a matter of, you know, getting together and being united and being with each other. It's not, it's not a, oh, this has to be, this house needs to be like this. And it's just, you know, let's get together and be with each other. But yeah, I agree. And enjoy each other and enjoy each other's company. Let's dance, let's sing. Right. Let's just enjoy each other versus this perfectly, you know, put together table. And, you know, that's the one thing that it's very different. Like I love a beautiful table and I posted my pictures of Thanksgiving, Christmas is coming, love a beautiful table, but that I didn't grow up in that way. Like when we went to someone's house, the table was full of food. The table was not filled with like adornments. It was filled with food. Also, there was no room for adornments. Like it was like three potato salads. Mm-hmm. There was like two types of rice. There was, you know, like it was just filled with food. But I think, yeah, in America, I think there is sometimes too much of a focus on perfection, you know, and just make.
That's interesting just so. That you said that, Leslie, because I remember when you posted about, you know, your table, and I said, girl, I decorate with my food, you know, but I remember thinking, yeah, I don't know. It's just not that big of a deal. Now that you said that, I'm like, yeah, that's probably why, because the tables or whatever, they were decked out with food. There was no, you know, you had your Christmas, because let me tell you something, we're extra in everything we do. So those houses generally are like decorated on the outside with the lights and your Christmas tree. Yeah. And, you know, they'll have some decorations, but the table was not the centerpiece when it comes, the centerpiece was the food, not decorations. No. I don't remember that either.
It was not decorations. And so I grew up, my mom was bougie in that, and she loved a beautiful table and she liked her pretty things and she still does, which is where I get it from. And then I, you know, went a little crazier. But I also don't have, I'm not celebrating with 50 people because it's just Olivia and I. But you know, it was mostly the food. It was not decor. It was not, the tree was up. You know, but that was it. Like it was really about the food and about the people and about the fun. And that's what I remember. I remember just my cousins and I just literally being on top of each other in somebody's bedroom, laughing, joking, parents were dancing out there, you know, like it just and even as an adult, like when I remember with my friends, that's what it was about. Like we, you know, we got together and we did the same things. It was dancing. It was, you know, because as a, you know, my 20s, I have my core group of girls and that's what we would do. We'd get together at someone's house and that's exactly what we kept doing.
So. Yeah. When I first moved here, I was 21. And, I just remember like the Christmas season would come and for years it was just so depressing. So, so sad. Because well, number one, it's cold. I don't do well in cold and I'm like, I'm not going out there and doing nothing in cold, but I didn't have, you know, it was just my dad here. And so, you know, that was fine, but there wasn't that whole, everybody get together and do the barrandas and, you know, and drink the coquito and, you know, and, it's just, it has never been the same. And so, you know, people joke around and I'm just like, Christmas season. Oh, you're such a Scrooge. And I'm like, no, honey, it's just what I'm used to. This here is depressing.
Right. Yeah. And I think that even with this pandemic, I think that that's also something that a lot of like my Latin friends who have these big families are really just saddened by, because you just, you know, it's just not safe to do it the way you know, and that's hard. That's really hard for a culture in particular that is really family focused and always on top of each other and really just out there celebrating. So,
And that's one of those things where I feel like, I think that's why I became the way that I am in many ways, where it's like, if nobody's going to throw the party, then I'm throwing the party, you know, then I'm going to be the one, because I remember at one point feeling that, you know, like obviously life happens and, you know, you know, things happen. And so the family's not the same or people move away or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And there's that sense of loss, like what you were talking about, Samantha, of like, this is just not the same. And so it was, for me, it's been the, well, I'm going to feel the sense of loss, or I'm going to bring it all back in. And so, girl, you want to talk about extra? I got two Christmas trees in my house, you know, one on each corner.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, you know, like, and the table looks beautiful, and there's a beautiful centerpiece that has a spot for when I move it, for when all the food comes, you know, I'm already prepared for it.
Yeah.
And so, but that's my thing, where it's like, for me, that's what's been important. Like, even the boys made me laugh, because I tell my husband, I'm like, everybody's gonna be like, I'm extra as heck, you know? And I don't care, you know, that's just because I'm about everything. I'm like that, right? And I'm Puerto Rican, it's in my blood, you know, I don't know how to do, you know, simple, right? But the funny thing is even with the boys, that you tend to think like, oh, boys don't pay attention to things like girls do, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I've already been asked about Christmas Eve dinner. I even threw out to my little one, I was like, you know, I wanted to make our first year really, really big. It's our first year in our house, you know, like, type of thing. But maybe next year, you know, mommy won't do as much. And he's like, what is your problem?
What does that even mean?
He was like, he's like, two trees every year going forward. So I'm going to be like, when they get married, I'm going to tell their wives, you're welcome, because they're going to have to do the same thing, you know?
No, Olivia just asked me that. She's like, why do people have like more than one tree? I was like, you have more space. You know, the more space you have, the more trees you can have. Yeah.
Well, I mean, for me, it's especially this year, like this year, with knowing that, like you said, the gatherings can't be as big, you know, we don't have family coming in from out of town like we would, or, you know, we're not going anywhere. So it's one of those, and it's like, okay, well, then our house is going to be filled. And sure enough, you best believe, come 6 a.m. on Christmas Eve, when I start cooking, that music is blasting. The neighborhood is like, oh, she is going, you know, like, but it's because of that. Like, I truly believe I've just got to the point where I can be sad about what I don't have, or I can incorporate new traditions along with my older traditions, and make sure that at least my boys can have this conversation in 10, 15, 20 years from now to say, you know, oh, I might have not grown up in Puerto Rico, but, you know, my mom did this, you know, and
continue. Look at you being such a good Puerto Rican.
Yeah. I know.
You know what's funny? I love posting, like, feeding people. I hate decorating. Like, you come to my house right now, you'd be like, did you just move in? Are you moving out? Like, what's going on? Because I hardly have anything up on the walls at all. I'm just like, no, that's just more stuff to clean and dust. No, I just, no, thank you.
Oh, I love it. And I think that the thing, like, even my mom did, you know, she decorated. I mean, we decorated. I mean, but she decorated, like, museum, like Macy's. Our apartment was like a museum. And you know, it's incorporating the cultural things, but then it's also like your own kids. Because for me in particular, Jesus is the reason for the season. So there was a lot of just very different types of traditions, even now that they think about it. But I think, like, we have like a little Christmas village, and I loved those growing up. And just like the gingerbread, that's very American. It's not necessarily. Like, I don't know if gingerbread is something, gingerbread homes and gingerbread men is something that you see in, like, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. Yeah. Like, I don't remember any of that, but that's, you know, more American. So it's really sort of fusing the two. And my tree is more like a memorial tree. Like, we have, like, decorations on there that every year we get a new one for what happened, like, this year, or in some way Olivia grew in something, and something that represents. So every time we take the ornaments out, it's more of a, oh, remember this, and remember this, and remember this, and it's more of like a, you know, just a tradition in how we do it. And so it's special, where growing up my mother was like, the tree is mine, and we're doing it like this because it was literally like a tree out of Macy's. It was beautiful. She always did such a great job with it. But so, you know, it's just incorporating, like, you know, like you said, like, you know, just what, you know, the things that we have to do with the things that we can currently do.
I'll give you another extra one. I didn't do it this year, but because I like my main tree to be my tree, I Normally, each of the boys have their own tree in their room because then they can decorate it however they want. It's a little three-foot tree, museum. You know?
She and her kids have her own tree. I love it.
Like,
because I don't want them to mess up my tree.
I don't want them to do my. I mean, and I put there's like I have ornaments when they were little that like every year were like the homemade ornaments that I'll throw on the tree. But like I give them theirs. Like my kids, I have a Charlie Brown tree, and that's the one they love of all of them. They love their, like, they look for that Charlie Brown tree to be in their room or in the family room or wherever it is that they spend the most time. But that was one of those. I did get the question from them this year, like, are we getting our own trees again this year? And I was like, look, I got two real big Christmas trees. We got to scale this back a little. But it is one of those where it's like, for them, it's like, okay, this is my tree. And now I can do whatever I want with it. But then they like the big one. Like,
I'm going to tell you a story. Like, I don't even know how this started or why I did it or what. Don't ask me. And it went on for a couple years, maybe 2-3 Christmases. And I got over it. So we're living in this house. And I don't remember how it went, but we didn't want to go buy a Christmas tree. I don't like fake Christmas trees either. And I don't know, maybe the whole Charlie Brown Christmas tree came up, and there was, I think there had been a storm, and there was this big branch outside in front of our yard. And I said, I'm going to have a Christmas branch. I went and grabbed that branch, and we decorated that branch.
Oh my
and
God.
We had the Christmas branch.
That's so sad.
The kids loved it because it was hysterical. And I'm going to, you know what, when we post this, I'm going to post the Christmas branch picture on the Instagram and tell people you have to find out the story.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something.
No, that is not Latin at all.
It was hysterical. The one year I actually bought silver paint, and we painted the Christmas branch silver and then added.
Oh my God.
It's hysterical what it is.
So sad.
It was a sad tree, Leslie.
It's awesome. That is awesome.
It was. But that's what was hysterical about it. The kids were fine with it. They were, you know, not little, because they were 6 when they joined our family, and this was, you know, quite a few years after that. But it was hysterical. They, you know, the one year we even made homemade Christmas ornaments, they were little gingerbread, like men, but they were made out of cinnamon and glue and something. A friend of mine helped me do it, and so you can see in the picture all the little family members in a row in a hanging from a tree branch like birds. Oh, I'm a hot mess. But I'm not very traditional. I don't generally do a whole lot of traditions year to year, because then I get bored of them. I think because some of the stuff is like age appropriate, so I don't do these things for myself. It's more, you know, for the kids. And so, you know, once they reach a certain age, I'm like, listen, we need you to do something more adulty here, or something, you know, whatnot. And I didn't have specific traditions that happened, you know, growing up. It was a cultural tradition, but it wasn't set on, you know, we didn't make pasteles together. The only thing that I did grow up with once I moved, I mean, when we visited for Christmas, it happened. But when I moved and lived there for the 10 years I did in Puerto Rico, is my grandfather always had a pig growing, you know, and so we would all as a family get together on Christmas. Gosh, I can't remember if it was Christmas. No, it wasn't Christmas Day, because the huge thing, like you said, Jessica, is Christmas Eve. So maybe we were there the 23rd and then started and whatever and did all the stuff. But we would all get together. Mm-hmm. The cousins helped, the moms, you know, the men, everybody were together. And we butchered that pig and, you know, did everything, cleaned it up. And that's where the morcillas come in.
Yeah.
And I do talk about this in another episode, but it'll be later. It'll be the last one of the month, but it's a blood sausage. So literally we do take the blood from the pig and season it with rice and whatever. And then you boil that and you use the intestines of the pig. So you have to wash those out really good and clean them. Cause when we cook that, it does not smell like chitlins. We don't do that. We don't do that.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the real redneck campo stuff. So I grew up like that. Stuff. And so we would kill, and I grew up butchering and culling animals, so that doesn't bother me at all. And I can eat, Wilbur, no problem. He tastes really good. And yep. And then we would roast it. Yep. And the men would, you know, sit there and they would roast it outdoors and then we would eat it. And then morcillas get boiled and then they get fried. And it's just one of my favorites. That's another, you know, that goes in with the Christmas tradition. That I mean, you can find it year round in certain restaurants that serve like that traditional Puerto Rican staples that usually get served at Christmas. But that was definitely something, and so I definitely have had that as a tradition of we got together as a whole family, like grandparents, uncles, and you know, cousins, and that was, and I looked forward to that. Right. But I always look forward to just being together as family, so it didn't matter what we did. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, there wasn't any specific tradition that I grew up with. That I can think of that I would have carried on. So here in this area, especially where I live, it's a very Mennonite, Amish, whatever background, they're very traditional, very close-knit families as well, just in a different way than ours. So, you know, that's similar, but they're very cliquish. So having people, like we're very welcoming, you know, we've never met a straight kind of thing. It's hard to, you know, get in and have people be more open to others coming into their traditions. But like my mother-in-law is very traditional. Right. There's cookie, what are they? Sand tarts, I think they're called. And, you know, that gets done every year. And, you know, when I came in, I just went ahead. I didn't have any family here. And I just went ahead. That's not true. I didn't have family for a while because my father was the one that was here, but then he moved away. So then I was left and it was just me. And my mom was in Puerto Rico. But, you know, right. I just went ahead and, you know, joined their stuff. But again, I'm not very traditionalist. I like new things. And after a while, I'm like, again, we're doing this again. We've done this for the last. No, and I just said, you know what? I'm not coming. You guys go ahead and do what you're going to do. I'm just going to sleep in and enjoy my Christmas morning and not run anywhere because you had to be there at the crack of dawn for breakfast. I'm like, who gets up at the crack of dawn to go to somebody else's house on Christmas Day? I'm like, no, I'm done with all this.
Breakfast, getting dressed, and Christmas Day is home. You sleep in, and sometimes we would open up gifts on Christmas Eve too. Like that was when midnight hit to open up Christmas. Like if we were
home,
and we had parties at home, we would open gifts, so we could come home and open them up, and then sleep in Christmas Day, and then get up and then play with everything, and just.
Yeah, that I would say that was the same thing. And that was, I think, the hardest part for me when I got married, because I was used to that. We'd open presents around midnight and then we'd sleep in and we get up and then it's just kind of our day to like lounge in the house. And when I had to go to my mother-in-law and then my father-in-law, because they weren't together. So then that's two houses on Christmas Day. And then, you know, like those type of things, it got to the point where you do end up, you know, kind of getting sucked into just the season, where like I don't know that my children, until we moved to Charlotte, that's the first time that we were home on Christmas Day, and they played with their toys that they got, because it was always a 2-3 day affair. Because then it was, then you know, from there it was like my comay and my compay, you know, for my godchildren, you know, like we would see each other the 26th, you know. And so it wasn't until like the 27th, 28th that it was finally like,
oh yeah, I think we did
like Christmas. Go ahead and play with it, you know.
If we didn't, if we aren't at the grandparents' house staying because of, you know, living in the States and coming to visit. But when we lived there, see, I'm not a past looking person. So once like I've lived stuff, I move on. But I think we did our presents in the morning and then we probably would all head over to my grandma's, I think. And because my grandparents and my mom didn't get along, we kind of have a strained relationship. I wasn't allowed to hang out with them, so I didn't have to split between households. It was just my mother's side of the family, so I didn't have all that to you know, split up. So I didn't have to divide. So I don't know what that is like, to have to hop from family to family. But now as adults, what I've started doing is just don't even celebrate like Christmas Day, because my older ones are adults now. And so they have their families, or, you know, their girlfriends, whatever. And so I'm just like, and then, you know, the in-law. So now what I've just started doing is just like, you guys celebrate whatever you want on your Christmas Day. And we're going to do another day. And so that's what, because I'm not attached to dates per se either. Yeah. That doesn't matter to me because I think I'm not, to me, it's the sentiment of the season. The day doesn't matter. And because it's a season, who cares, you know? And so what I've started doing is I'll, like this year, we'll do my mother-in-law, I guess, on Christmas Day. It was just, there's like, it's just a small group. But then the 26th, I'd said, okay, which is Saturday, we're going to do our Christmas. And what we do, which is, this has been a tradition that has stuck because I only make it, but we call it Land of Nod Buns, but it's basically monkey bread. And we do that for breakfast and the kids look forward to that. So we, you know, that's definitely something. But the one year I started, because we're all older, we actually went to the movie theater on Christmas Day. And that was so much fun. And the first time did we do it again? No, I can't remember. Oh. But I know we watched, oh my gosh, it was hysterical. It was Jumanji, the second one, with the adults, you know. With, oh my gosh, with The Rock and all that. That was, oh my, I laughed so hard. That was such a good movie. So we watched the Jumanji one. And like when I was reading Shelley's, you know, thing, I did that whole Saran wrap ball thing. And just trying to find things, you know, that are fun, but for adults, you know. Yeah. Nobody's a kid, so it's changes, just like
when your kids get older too. Yeah, she's 13. And she used to do the devotionals and all this, and now it's like she's looking at me like, really? And I'm like, let's sing every night, and like she's like, yeah, no, that's not happening. I'm like, chocolate, and she's like, yeah, you can you know, like it's very different. And then even just even like when they're younger, they get excited over toys and. You know, and as they get older, it's not the same.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. So just trying to find things that are, you know, different, but still have fun and that kind of thing is what I've been doing. But it's and we only do one gift as well. So we don't make it a big gift thing. And my kids are so odd. Like we were like, what do you want for Christmas? And they're like, well, they don't. They just aren't really. I remember the one year. You know what they asked for? Those two, they're precious. My daughter wanted footed pajamas, and I'm like, "That's clothing. Like I can buy you anytime. I'm like, all right, fine. That's what you asked for Christmas. I'll get you footed pajamas for Christmas." But you know what? The difference is too. My kids did not grow up with cable TV, so we only watch Netflix. And so when they came here at 5 and 6, they didn't grow up. They didn't know what was in style. What was out there? They didn't watch commercials. So they the commercial is, what is it?
Right.
Thank you. Whatever that word is. It just never was something, you know, that really hit them. And so even now, like we just still watching. Yeah, they know now because they have their own devices and they look at stuff or whatever. But they didn't grow up watching commercials or knowing. And we homeschooled.
Right.
So forget about knowing what was out there. So we homeschooled for a few years. So they were very simple to buy for. They're always content with whatever. It didn't matter.
My daughter.
Well, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know what my kids' excuse is because, I mean, same thing. We do Netflix and stuff like that too, but you know, they're coming out or whatever. But do you know my little one put on his list? Socks.
We have to buy special Christmas ones for him.
Like, I don't buy him socks. Like, I don't buy socks like 20 times a year.
Oh my gosh, that's hysterical. That's what he asked. That's great. Like, that's great. I love it. He wants socks for Christmas.
I was like, I mean, there were like six other things on the list, which funny enough, then he put a legend on the list and it had a little star and says really want.
Oh, that's awesome.
And of the six or seven things on the list, like five of them had the star of the really want. And the sock was not one of the really want.
Oh my gosh, that's hysterical.
Just in case. You don't get
the other... Just in case. Yeah, like, we didn't watch a lot of Disney and a lot of like commercial things as she got older. We didn't watch a lot of things. So she's the same way. Like, I don't know if it's personality or like she has nothing on her list. Like, I'm making stuff up. Like, she's like, I don't know what I want. Like, I want to buy.
Well, that's great. Something up, so Leslie, you said that you definitely grew up with Jesus was the reason for the season. What about oh, you did not? Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. No,
I didn't grow up like that. No, it was
oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
No, I it's in my home now, as it, when it was born, but when I grew up it was Santa Claus.
Gotcha. How about you, Jessica? Like, what was the spiritual component? Really, or was there one?
Oh, no, girl. It was Jesus. I was born and raised in church. My mom, not my dad. But it was definitely one of those where, I mean, I just always knew there was never Santa, right? Because we never did Santa. So then I never did it with my kids. I never like endorsed it, but I also never like, you know, kind of was like, no Santa. Like, I never did that. But by the time my kids were like 4 years old, they would tell, they're like, we know there's no Santa. And I'm like, but don't tell your friends, okay? But yeah, no, my mom, it was definitely like, we went to church, Christmas Eve service. So like in between the cooking and all the stuff, it was like, we're going to Christmas Eve service. And then we come, we eat dinner. And then we, you know, we have our festivities, you know, throughout the rest of the night. But it was always, you know, all about God from, you know, from that point. Now, interesting though, and I don't know if either of the two of you grew up with this. So I don't know.
I still don't do it.
Is it an American culture thing or just what? But Advent was not a thing for us.
Advent, okay. Advent is Catholic. It was a Catholic tradition. So Advent was definitely something like that. I grew up in a Catholic church, and we did and I went to Catholic school. So the idea behind, I mean, in the Catholic school, we had Santa Claus. Like, Santa Claus would come to visit and deliver. Like, it wasn't, we did Advent in that we did a wreath, and every week we did some kind of something about Advent calendars, that kind of thing. I just like the idea of, in particular when my daughter was younger, I liked the idea of just setting time out aside every day to just read something biblical. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to start that. And the little book that I found was a really cute book. It was simple. And it just kind of went through Luke, you know, like the story of Zachariah when Elizabeth was born, mm-hmm. you know, and it was, it's something that I treasured. I know my daughter, when she was younger, she treasured it. And it was something that she looked forward to as well. But I just like the idea of sitting down every day and just having our focus.
I love the idea. I don't do it because it was never something that I did growing up, but it's not just a Catholic thing. Like, having been now where I work, like Presbyterian and Method, I mean, like all kinds of people do it, but it was just nothing that I ever saw growing up in my upbringing. Now, that could very well be because my mom was Catholic, and then, you know, she converted to Christianity. And so it could be that she just was like, no, we're not doing anything kind of like that. Or, you know, who knows what, but maybe it wasn't a thing that like they did a lot of even. Because again, you know, going back to you, Samantha, you were like, no, you know, being in Puerto Rico and stuff. And so but that was one of those things, those Christmas traditions here that I'm like, this is beautiful to have our hearts set on and understanding why we do Christmas is so, I think it's so beautiful, but
I grew up Catholic too,
because it's not something that I grew up with.
Definitely was not something we did in church. Although I will have to say that Catholicism in Puerto Rico, or I don't know, I can't speak for other countries. Well, no, Puerto Rico, because I think they're very traditional. In Guatemala, when I'm there, they take Holy Week to a whole new level. You almost feel like you were there walking with Jesus. it's some of the stuff they do is anyway, but just in general, it was a lot. It wasn't strict like a lot of, like, when I moved here, and I had this coworker, secretariat at the law firm I worked at, and she was Catholic, and I just remember her speaking sometimes, and I'm just like, what kind of Catholic are you? Like, she talked about stuff, and she seemed pretty, like, they were like strict. And I'm just like, no, we all go to church on Sunday, but the majority of the women and men, they're all shacking up with each other. What? And you guys, what? You don't use birth control? You crazy? Like, it was just so odd to me how different culturally it was. Yeah. Very, very odd to me. And maybe it was just her church. I don't know. But when I heard Catholicism come out of her mouth, I was just like, what kind of Catholic? No, not in my experience.
No, you're right.
Right.
You know, No, I think you're very right, because I think it's all by region, it's all by culture, it's all like all of that matters. Because I mean, even me, I grew up Pentecostal, and I've encountered some other people, and I'm like, I don't know what you grew up, but that's not the Pentecostal I knew, you know? Like, because there are things that feel so far-fetched for me, which are totally normal for them, you know? But I think that that's the same thing. I mean, I know a Christmas Eve service was always really important in Catholicism, but I feel like that's just in the Latin culture in general. Because why? We, again, Christmas Eve, Noche Buena, that's the night for us. You know, that's the night where we celebrate. So a Christmas Eve service or Christmas Eve mass or whatever the case may be, that's not like out there, because again, it just, to me, it goes right
Yeah,
along
no, I
within
think, you
what
know,
we do within
Catholic
as a
Christmas Eve
culture.
service was really big here, especially in particular with the even with the Italian culture. It's a really big thing with my Italian friends is Christmas Eve mass, like midnight mass, was a big thing.
Yeah, I
I
don't
mean, I
think I
don't
did
remember
either.
going to church on Christmas Eve. Like, it wasn't a thing that we did because we were in someone's house. So we didn't do it. It was there and it was an option. But I don't remember growing up with a real big emphasis on Jesus. I knew that it was his birthday, but I grew up, and again, it may just be my own remembrance, and my sisters may have a different kind of thing, but I just remember it, like, you know, getting excited over Santa Claus and getting excited and knowing, because I grew up in a Catholic school, that we were celebrating Jesus's birthday, but not necessarily like the focus on
Yeah, the fact that the
thinking about his
Messiah, our
birth
Messiah,
and
was
the way I
born,
did it
yeah.
when Olivia was younger. I was, it was not, yeah, it was like, yeah, and let's look at what the Bible says, and let's look at this, and yes, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and I try to be really purposeful about it. And again, it was just like a 5 minute thing that, you know, and again, now when she's gotten older, it's just, she's like, I'm not interested. So it's now trying to find something else. Because I think it's just a nice, even for us, just a nice time to just sit and really, you know, get into the word and understand what this season really means, that there's the hope. You know, what does that hope mean?
I don't remember
So
if we
yeah.
went to church.
You know,
And you know
but I
what?
don't
We weren't a
remember
church
any
going
of that.
family either.
Yeah.
My mom didn't go to church. I went with the neighbors because I wanted to go with them. So, you know, whenever I went to church, I was just go with the neighbors. So my mom
Wow.
didn't go. My mom didn't start going to church until, gosh, I think I was a teenager, almost out the house. Yeah, or I think I already had moved out when she actually became a Christian, to be honest, I think. So yeah, we didn't grow up like that, but she was fine with me
Yeah.
going with the neighbors, and so I would go. So I don't recall if we went. We probably didn't. I did, well, I didn't go to church. But I think, yeah, I'm trying to search my heart and how I felt about it, because it wasn't a conscious thing about being focused on Jesus. But I think the three wise men thing was the closest to, you know, that immediate real connection to Jesus and his humble birth. So that connection was there, and that was very special to me, for sure. I have an aunt that she loves Three Wise Men Day, and she loves nativity scenes. And so whenever I find a peculiar one, I buy her one, you know. And so the one time I actually have these Mennonite friends, and the parents of one of the in-law, the daughter-in-laws, has a they sell honey. And so with the wax of the hive, they made nativity scenes made out of wax. And so there were candles. So they all had the wick, right? So I bring this for Christmas the one year, and I said, here. And she was just like, oh, this is great. And I said, you know, you can burn them. She's like, oh. And then she's like, and so she gets to Mary, and you know, she's Catholic, so Mary's like, you know, sacred. And she's like, oh, I can't burn Mary. I can't burn Mary. I said, it's a candle. And then this is her and
I
her
know.
comadre, her the
Oh,
godmother
man.
of her children. They're standing there debating this, like, this was a huge decision, right? And I'm like, it's a candle. And then she's like, well, at least they didn't put one on baby
Yes.
Jesus. I couldn't
Yes,
burn
they
baby
didn't.
Jesus. I remember that. So she lit them up. I said, I bought them for them to be lit up. You don't have to
Oh,
preserve
man.
these. They were really cheap. It's just cute. Just enjoy it. So she's like, okay. could not burn Mary. Yeah, no, that's yeah the wise men, those could die. Joseph, out the door. Burn Mary. She's like, I can't burn Mary. I'm like, but because baby Jesus didn't have a wick, then they were okay. Okay, they could, you know. My family's a hoot. Oh my gosh. Well, ladies, we've been going on here for a hot minute. So let me read this recipe. So grab people, pause this. Grab your paper and pen, pencil, whatever. So it's one can of coconut cream. One can of evaporated milk, one can of sweet condensed milk, two cans of coconut milk, two tablespoons of powdered or, because I'm reading, I'm literally reading this in Spanish and translated as I'm reading. So it's cinnamon, like canela, canela, cinnamon, two tablespoons of cinnamon and one cup of Bacardi. Now listen, people. It's a cup of rum, but do not come and make this and defile my coquito with some other kind of rum. We can't be having that. If you're going to do that, just don't even tell me that you made it. Just don't. So you're going to buy your Bacardi and you're going to put a cup. Now you may think that's a lot. Well, maybe it is. I don't know, but you can add less or more according to your convictions. Well, my mother doesn't drink. My mother doesn't drink, and she actually put some in, so I know that it has to be mild because she doesn't drink.
Well, that's a lot of milk.
Yeah.
No. I started off with a cup because the recipe that I have says a cup, and I thought it was
smooth.
That doesn't taste like rum, but has like a nice.
Yeah. People can. So start with half and then add.
I think that cup. I would start off with half a cup. Taste.
Okay.
And then. If one more, then add more in, because when you put too much in, you can't go back.
Listen, why are you telling me this? I just warned people that you're going to come and tell me this.
My card, but I can't stand Bacardi.
No!
Yes, because I want them to feel freedom. They can have freedom to be themselves.
No! Oh my gosh!
I'm having a heart attack. Do Malibu,
and it tastes great. Yes, it's Malibu. Oh my god,
okay. So let me finish here. So you put that all and put it in a blender and blend it really good, and you store it in preferably in a glass recipient with a lid. So if you just have plastic, then I guess that's fine. I don't know, but glass is what you're supposed to put it in. But the blender part is really important because it makes everything, you know, nice and creamy. And then you have to refrigerate it. Do not serve that warm or luke, whatever. No, it has to be nice and cold. And that's it. You just shake it really good. And then you put it in a glass, pour it in a glass, and you drink that baby. What?
Oh,
I've heard of that too.
At the top, I put nutmeg in mine. And then you just sprinkle a little cinnamon on top for just oh my goodness. Malibu. I can't even really have that. I'm really
No. I'm sorry. That's not better tasting rum.
Better tasting rum.
You can do Palo Viejo if you want, because that's Puerto Rican too.
I can't do
It's a good thing I'm a Christian. I'd be like, girl, I'm cutting you off faster than
I still love you guys,
wart.
But it's
yes, right? Malibu. Lord have mercy.
Okay. Cut me off and then you know, we'll be back here again in a few.
What?
Okay. I know.
Okay. You know what?
Well, maybe. No, I don't know, but I'm still.
I didn't do it with the coquito. I did the Malibu with piña coladas.
I was going to say, do you put a lot in it? Because if you put too much of any alcohol, you know, it's like, Bacardi, ugh,
so
it's overpowering.
It tends to be very, very light.
It just kills it for me. That's why I like half a cup.
Yeah.
The recipe that I had was a cup, and I just found it overpowering. I mean, and I like the party, but I prefer the just the, I like the nice mix of the milk with
yes. And with actually, people, if you nice do not drink alcohol, make it without the Bacardi, you'll be fine. So just follow the same instructions. Put in the blender really, really good, nice and you know, blended, yeah. and then put in the fridge and serve it really, really cold. So, you know, joking aside, the alcohol does not have to be in there at all. So. That one's just called the virgin one. Actually drink the baptized one, which is what we call them. ours are baptized and yours is just virgin ones. Oh my gosh. Oh, this has been great. Anything else you girls want to add or say before we part, aside from Feliz Navidad? Y Prospero Año Nuevo, which is a prosperous new year. Yeah. Wait, that song
Navidad.
Is
Feliz Navidad. Oh,
prosperous new year and felicity or happiness, which is the literal translation. Mm-hmm. Yes, and happiness. So we wish you, enjoy the hope of the season and focus on that.
Merry Christmas.
No time for drama, especially in these COVID days. We just got to chill. Yeah. And so we hope you actually go out and buy the stuff and make it. And then I want you guys to tell me how it went.
No,
and I'll post a picture of the Christmas brunch.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Christmas sounds good. All right, girlfriends. Yes. Besos, besos.
So Christmas brunch and the recipe, you need to post both.